You know, I was thinking greater things. It's always amazing how Audrey picks out the songs, and the Holy Spirit's leading all of us all the time. But and then everything gets shared. But greater things. You know, I was talking to a lot of people here lately, and it seems like a lot of guys my age, we just had these conversations that we lived in one of the greatest times to be alive. I mean, you know, come on, the rock and roll in the 60s and 70s were the greatest music that ever hit the earth. You know? And then just the freedom we had, and just, you know, even with this building thing, you know, man, we're just reminiscing about, man, it was so much easier 40 years ago to build than it is right now. The rules and the regulations and all that stuff. And then I got thinking, you know, how fair is that to be us old guys now telling the young people, well, you missed out on the greatest time. You know, and I want to just tell the young people, don't believe it. Greater things are coming. Greater things are coming. And as much as the world is all saying it's all going crazy and everything else, I believe in the next 2 years you will see some of the greatest things you've ever seen in the kingdom of God. And what I believe is going to happen is this: people are going to come into a relationship with God, and it's not going to be coming into a great movement or a great revival and a great all that. It's just going to be individual people are going to get to know their God and walk with Him and be kind and gentle to other people and start solving problems instead of creating problems. And I believe we have a real good reason to be very hopeful. So, with that, I'm going to go to, before I go there, this week we got to take care of Gavin and Olivia while Mom and Dad were gone, and so that's really something special. And but when we were swimming and we were working in the garden and all that kind of stuff, but then one night I was down doing therapy in my back, and Gavin was there, and he's got a new Bible, a new study Bible, and he's like his papa. He likes gadgets and he likes things. And he was going through. He says, "Give me a scripture, Papa. What's one of your favorites?" And I have this issue. It's a couple of issues in my life. One, I don't like to be tagged. You know, like when you go to an all exclusive thing and they put a tag around you. It reminds me of shooting deer. And I just I'm repulsed by having somebody put a tag on me. But the other one is when people say, "What's your favorite?" And I just go, "I don't have favorites." I believe having a favorite is very limited. I believe it narrows your vision down. I believe you don't look at the whole field. You're starting to look at just one little thing. And so I see people, you know, it's great to look in your past and enjoy things. But, man, if all you can do is reminisce about the old cars and the old things, man, you're not living today. And one thing, I don't have favorites with my kids because they're all, and I don't have a favorite scripture because what the scripture I want is the scripture I need at the moment. But I do have some really special scriptures. So he was saying, "Papa, you know, give me some scriptures." So then he was trying to find them, you know, and we're looking them up. And that just got me you know, thinking about it. And I go, it took me back to one of my scriptures that as a young person had a major impact on my life. And as I was thinking about it, I thought, again, it's very easy to get so focused on your own life that you forget there's a whole generation coming up that is going to change the world for the better. We have hope. And as I sat there and watched him, you know, and he's trying to figure out where it is, and it's like what Jody said. It's almost like, listen, you grew up with this. You should know all this. And I thought, how would you know it? Dear God, they don't even, we used to have races, you know, to find the scriptures, and now you just pull out your phone. It's a whole different ballgame. But I thought, what about the Word of God that's going into his heart? And so the last one I shared with him, I'll be sharing with you at the end of this. I'm going to share for you in between. Romans 15:4 says this: "For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope." There's a reason why we look at old stories. There's a reason why we read them. That's the reason we review them. That's the reason why our kids need to study history, because out of that we get instruction, and through that we get perseverance and encouragement. Perseverance is a very interesting word. It talks about pressing through difficult times with joy. In fact, the very first definition is cheerful. If you leave out the cheerful on perseverance, it's not perseverance. If you're just struggling and enduring, hanging on with your white knuckles, it's not this kind of perseverance. This perseverance that God is talking about here is one with joy. And you think, how do you have joy going through tough times? But man, I tell you, my memories are full of moments of tough times. But there's such a joy to review it, because I remember just the getting up early, the working hard, the man out there in Vail. You know, one of the perseverance we had to have was just live through the mosquitoes. I remember we had an arm full of siphon pipes. A lot of you won't know what that is, but just pipes that siphon water out of a ditch. One of the worst jobs there is in irrigation, I think. A lot of fun. You can have really good water fights, but it's just a pain. And I remember I was carrying them as a kid, and I had a whole armful, and you couldn't do anything. And I looked down on my arm, and it was solid black with mosquitoes. And I just finally just get, oh, and they didn't bother me much now. They would never welt up. Now I get one bite, and it itches for weeks. I don't know what happened. But anyway, I remember dropping the pipes and just wiping them off, and my whole arm was just red with blood. I don't know why I brought that up, but you got to do it with cheerfulness. And I look back, and I do. I smile and laugh because I go, man, those were the days, man. We pressed through. I'm just glad we don't have to press through anymore. I'm done with mosquitoes. I already feel like I paid my dues or given my blood. I've got the scars, you know, to prove it, you know. So we get perseverance, and we get encouragement from the stories, from the scriptures, that we might have hope. And boy, you can't live long without hope, of expectation of something wonderful coming. The next verse goes on and just says, God is the God that gives the perseverance and encouragement. I'm so grateful we don't have to work it up. He's a God that gives us that cheerful endurance if we'll just accept it. Then I want to read to you 2 Corinthians 1:20. It says this, For as many as are the promises of God, in him they are yes. Therefore, also through him is our amen to the glory of God through us. There's a principle here that is, as Lisa was sharing and Jody was sharing, you know, we all start formulating our view of life and our pictures of life. And when we're young, they say we establish like 80% of it, which is huge to me. I don't know, because we didn't really have enough knowledge to figure that out. So we got a lot of work to do to renew some of that. But how you picture life is so critical. It's just... And one of the pictures I want to kind of paint to you today is in Christ. As you read the scriptures, most of the time, you can actually look at it this way. The promises that God made all through the Old Testament were really, I'd have to qualify a lot of this, but you can think through this. But most of them were made directly to Jesus. His promise to Abraham was actually to Jesus, because it said to him and his seed, and it says seed is one, not in many. And so God, you know, if you read Psalms like Psalms 91, the Lord, it's all about protection. It's all about deliverance. It's all that. And it's made to Jesus. His angels encamp around us. You know, he'll deliver us out of all their troubles. My family, we quote Psalms 91. I'm back to trying to quote it every day just to renew my mind, because we need angels about us. Hallelujah. And we need protection, and we need to have his guidance. But it's made really, the promises from the Heavenly Father to Jesus. It's not really to us. But the principle here, if you can see it, is the way we get it is we get into Jesus. The Bible said this is, I'll read this scripture, it's Corinthians. Well, I'll read out of Philippians first. Paul says this in chapter 3, verse 9, that I may be found in him. Somebody's going to find you, may they find you in him. not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness of which comes from God to us. And then Colossians 1, one of my favorite verses. I do have some favorites, don't I? To whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is, he's now describing the mystery that's been hidden, that's now revealed, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Jesus said this to the disciples. He said, you know, I'm going to be in the Father. The Father's going to be in me, and you're going to be in me, so we all become one. All the promises that you and I need to partake in the nature of God, if you'll start seeing it this way, it'll enhance and increase your faith and the power of God in your life. If you stop looking at, because if you're looking at you receiving a promise, you're probably going to say, man, do I qualify? Have I been good enough to receive God's blessing? Man, I made a lot of mistakes. I went, as Jody said, the Lord instructs us. We go the wrong way. We have consequences that hit our life, screw up our life. And then we go, man, what'd you do that for, God? I mean, that's the world's common thing. What'd you do that to me for? You know, and it's like, wait a minute. Why do you think he did it? He's the one that gave you a choice, and you willfully choose, you know. So if we can see that the promises were made to Jesus, and now we can enter into him, he says, I'll be in you, and you'll be in me, and we'll be in the Father. Now all of a sudden, you're not focused on you and your qualifications. You're just saying, I'm in. And being in, I get to be a joint heir with Jesus. I get everything that's ever been promised, and every one of them is yes. Every one of the promises God made to Jesus is yes. It's absolutely going to happen. The question is, are you in him or are you out? And so with that premise, I want to go to Joshua, the first chapter. This is the scripture that affected me as a teenager. I didn't really understand it, but in my heart, I just, as a young 12-year, I don't know, it started really early in my life. I just thought there was something special going to happen in my life. I wanted something. Let's put it that way. I wanted something special. I did not want status quo. I appreciated the stability of my family. It was a conservative family, a Norwegian family, I lived on a farm forever family, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. But I wanted something spectacular for my life. And I don't know, maybe everybody does, but not everybody expresses. Some just seemed like they submit to, well, this is the way my grandfather did it, I'm going to do it the same way. I was grateful I had a grandmother that, you know, she was just a few years away from 100, and she tried a New Mexican recipe, and the spices just about killed her. She had stomach problems. But I remember thinking as a kid, man, Grandma, have some common sense. And then I thought, man, Grandma, way to live it to the last. Way to not be stuck in the mud. Way to experiment and try something new. So as a young person, I just wanted that. I wanted that. And then somehow I actually had dreams all the time that I was like a superhero, but I was a real big chicken. I had these reoccurring dreams that the whole world got affected by something. And even to my dad, he got infected with it, you know. And I don't know. I was talking to my brother. I was kind of laughing about it because it's almost like describes the virus. But it was taking over them, and I was the only one that hadn't been affected, and I had to save my family and save the world. And this went on and on for a few years. And one night I woke up, and I heard this sping, sping, and I thought, man, somebody is trying to break through our basement with a big hammer and a chisel. I mean, weird. I get weird. And I was so scared. I go, oh, man, I'm the only one that can save the family. I got, you know. And I was just terrified, and I finally got up and went around the corner as my sister, she was snoring. but Said all that to say this. This scripture really burned in my heart. I'm going to start with Joshua, first chapter, verse 1. Now it came about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying. So we got Moses, the servant of God, but we then got Joshua that's a servant to Moses. And God comes to him and just says, verse 2, Moses, my servant, is dead. You know, that's pretty straightforward, isn't it? Not much bedside manner there. And God just says to Joshua, he says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, cross this Jordan, you and all these people, to the land which I am giving to them, to the sons of Israel. And every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I will give it. I have given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses. So here we got a passing on of the baton, so to speak, that where God just dealt with Moses. Here's Joshua serving Moses with all his heart. Moses dies, and God steps in and says, okay. You know, and I don't know what the relationship God had with Joshua before that, but it's almost like, boom, game change. And here God is talking directly to him. Puts a lot of emotions inside of me of all the stories that are like that in life. Goes on to tell him that no man will be able to, we'll go to verse 5. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. What an incredible thing for a God to say. I'll be with you. I will not fail you. He didn't say, you better not fail me. You better get this job done. No, just like a coach sometimes puts some pressure on the players instead of saying, listen, I know who you are. I know how good you're trained. I got confidence. Go in the game and win it. I'll be with you. I'm right there with you. And then he goes to verse 6, and this is where it really started burning into me. Be strong and courageous. And I took that as a personal word, and you can too. I took that as a personal word to me that I was supposed to be strong and courageous. Now, you got to understand, I was one big chicken. I was so intimidated. I got called to the principal's office in seventh grade. I didn't hardly do anything wrong. I was too scared. That changed, by the way. But in seventh grade, I got called to the office, and mostly because an older student that a teacher had a problem with was talking to me, helping me with my math before the bell rang. The bell rang, and he wasn't in his chair. So to get to him, she sent me to the office for being tardy. Really weird. Well, the problem was the principal wasn't in his office. He was teaching the Voag boys in Newell, South Dakota. You got to picture this. Big high school Voag boys. I mean, boy, when you're in seventh grade, the seniors are big. And I had to walk over there, and I had to walk to a different building, and I had to walk in with this pink slip, and I was just shaking like this, and I was in tears. I walked right in front of that class up to that principal, and all those cowboys were looking at me, and I was I was crying, and I handed it to him. And it was just, dear God, I mean, they could have crucified me, but I think they just felt so pathetic for me. I don't know if any of them mocked or not. They were sure smiling, but I tried not to look around. I had too many tears in my eyes, but I looked up, and I looked at the principal, and it was almost like, take a deep breath, son. It's okay. You're not going to die. And he kind of laughed a little bit and says, it's okay, John. It's okay here. And he signed it and said, go on back. Your class will be fine. And I walked out of that building and said, I'm done with that. I'm done with that. I'll never do that again. You know, since that day, I haven't cried for myself. When I got to Bible college, I was talking to the Lord about it, and I read the word, and I knew I was in Christ, and every promise was yes. And I said, Lord, I'll never cry for myself again because you have given me everything, and there's nothing to cry about. I'll cry for others. I cry at a drop of a hat. Chase was talking to me the other day. He said, Ben, Dad, I got your crying ability. Man, Coke commercials used to just take me out. A little kid just having any kind of victory just takes me out. I'm not saying I cry like a baby, but I there's times I said, man, I've been in some pretty severe pain lately. And I go, man, I'd like to just cry for myself, and I can't. Why? Because there's something embedded inside of me that said, I'll never be that again. I'm going to be strong. I'm going to be courageous. And my father told me I can, and my father told me to be strong. So that's what I'm going to do. And it goes on to say, be strong and courageous. For you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. I took that personally at a young teenage age. I said, I'm going to help people receive what God has promised for them. I'm going to help them get the land. That's my job. And Joshua took this same word that God said to him, and it's a powerful thing. Man, when you get a coach that believes in you and or somebody's training you up in something, and they got more confidence in you than you have in yourself, it is a powerful thing when they radiate this incredible confidence, you got this, go do it. Man, it's just something inside says, I'm shaking inside, but I'm going to take that word and I'm going to live it out. I'm going to be strong and I'm going to be courageous. And to this day, my whole image of my life is I will be strong, I'll be courageous, and I'll help get to people what God has promised them. Every country I go to, every person I talk to, this is what's burning inside of me. And I looked at little Gavin and I go, man, God, you're doing it again. You're doing it a new whole generation. We got every reason to have hope and to have faith. It says, next verse says, only be strong and be very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn to the left or to the right so that you may have success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. This is very significant. Didn't say depart from your memory. It said depart from your mouth. The words that we know from God, we need to use our mouth all the time. We need, you know, and I believe, as we go on, I believe most of what he's talking about, a lot of things, use your mouth, speak it out. When I'm alone, I speak out. I talk out loud a lot. To myself, because it's a powerful thing to hear your own voice. You're going to listen to you more than anybody else in life, so make sure what you're saying to yourself is right. People say, well, that person said, I remember when I told this story, but little Brody, we were over in Spearfish, and he was just a little guy, and he wanted to be Batman, and he was out playing with this other kid in Spearfish, just met him, and he came over to me just sobbing and crying. I said, Brody, what's wrong? He said, I can't be Batman. He's Batman. And I go, Brody, you got to get this figured out. Why in the world would you give him any credit? You don't even know him. Look at him. He don't have ears. He's not a Batman. You're the Batman. And I was just thinking about life, how many times we give so much value to what other people think and say of us. And we put a little value for what we say and think, but we're going to listen to us way more than them. And faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. So men, use your voice in your own head out loud all the time. Use the word of God. And this is what I did. I said, I'm going to be strong and I'm going to be courageous and I'm going to give to the people what God has promised to them. So do not just tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Again, this whole thing, this story here, and Joshua really is a representative of Christ. The words are pretty close in the names, but it's like, here's what God is, he's talking to Joshua there, but he's really talking to Jesus. And saying, you're going to be strong, you're going to be courageous, and you're going to give the people of the world what I promised them, which is my kingdom, my heart, my love, and everything else that is included. This scripture really was meant for Jesus. He was the ultimate one that was going to deliver him. And you and I are in him, so it's ours. It's each and every one of us. If you're in Christ, you got everything he has. Every word that the Father's given to Christ is your word. Every bit of power that he gave Christ is in you now. Jesus said it. I'm going to go to the Father. Take my name, take my power, and go. And do what I do, and go throughout the whole world doing good and healing all those who oppress of the devil. Destroy the works of the devil. I don't know, a lot of people are really, mad at all the evil things and makes me sick to my stomach just to see the evil things people are doing. But it's like, that isn't going to do any good just to be irritated. You know, I told my wife, you know, this pain in my back and going down my arm all the time, it gets really old. But I remember praying for a young man. He came forward once, and I laid my hands on him, and he came up, and I'm not sure what his problem was. I don't remember that. But I said, "You're just sick and tired of this." And he goes, "Yeah, I am." I said, "Sick and tired doesn't change anything. You can be sick and tired of something. You can be irritated with it. You can be bored with it. You can be just fed up with it. But it doesn't change a thing. There's no power in being sick and tired. The power is in faith and believing what God said and letting that word come into your heart and taking it. I'm telling you, the key point what I'm trying to share today is take it personal that you're in Christ Jesus. It has nothing to do with your qualification. It has everything to do with, but you're inside him. Take every word that he gave, the Father gave to Jesus, every promise that he said, every guarantee that he said, "I'll never forsake you," and just absolutely know that's yours because of who you've been swallowed up in. Nobody needs to recognize John Williamson. Nobody needs to say great things to him if he's hidden in Christ. If you can't find me, you only can find Christ. That's a good thing. Some people want to say it, "I did it my way." I don't want to do it my way. I tried my way. It wasn't very good. Say, "Well, that kind of shoots pride." Yeah, well, it's okay. Humble yourself, because why? Well, would you rather have somebody's reputation, somebody think well of you for what you did, or have all the goods in the world? You know, I've been around a few millionaires. I think I bumped into a couple billionaires in my travels, but not sure, you know, nobody. I didn't ask. It's a funny thing to see people that have so much money. I tell you what, because of this perspective, I can literally say, man, I respect what you've done, respect what you have. But you got to understand, I own it all. I own it all. I'm a joint heir with Jesus. Run your mouth off on this lifetime, but I own it all. The universe is mine because I'm in Christ Jesus. Galatians, Paul says this, Galatians 6, "But may it never be that I would boast except in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For neither circumcision is anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creation." I will boast in the cross that caused me to be a whole new creation. Old John Williamson was crucified, dead, separated from the world, and the world separated from me. I'm in a whole new kingdom. I'm a new creation. You're a new creation. Don't take that lightly. Joshua did some awesome things. Moses did some awesome things. Elijah, David, Solomon. And Jesus said, those guys don't even compare to somebody who's been born again and is a brand new creation. I don't fully understand it, but what's really cool is when Jesus left the cross, came up out of the grave, he went and preached to the people that had died. He preached to Moses. He preached to Joshua and said, we look back on the cross and we can be redeemed. But they had been looking forward and they got to hear him. I don't know how all that works, but I know now that they're a new creation. Joshua's a new creation. So is Moses. But we get to live on earth. They didn't get that chance. We get to live on earth as new creations in Christ Jesus, all powerful, all wisdom, perfect, blameless. For what reason? To be strong and be courageous and to give the people from all nations and all tribes, young and old. And so what we'll be continuing to do until he takes us home is we're going to be strong. And we're going to take what he gives, which is perseverance and encouragement. Comfort is actually, that word encouragement is comforter, which comes from the word that describes the Holy Spirit as comforter, parakletos, which also means one called alongside. The encouragement that you have is that he is with you. He'll never forsake you. You know, this word is so powerful because it takes us into action here on earth to do something that, to change the world that we're in for the better. But it also takes you to your last breath when you're about to depart from your body. And this word is still, I'm still strong, I'm still courageous, I'm still in Christ. I'm just slipping out of this body finally. He's never forsake me, and he won't forsake me as I slip out of his body. Kind of like the Star Wars thing where the body just kind of disappears when they go. Because it's like, really, this thing is just made out of chemicals and minerals. It's pretty amazing. Functions pretty good. And when it doesn't function, you kind of know it. But when I'm done with this, I'm done with this. It'll just turn back into dirt. But I'm alive forevermore. You're alive forevermore. You're a new creation. Don't take that lightly. Father, I thank you for this moment we've had together. I thank you that the truth is the truth and that it always remains. And all of our experiences added up don't change a thing. It's the fact that you love us, chose us, gave us an opportunity to respond to that and to love you back. And so, Father, we're just saying with all of our heart, with all of our might, we accept the word of God as a promise to us. We're in Christ Jesus. Our life has been swallowed up. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. But now that you're living in me, I will step up to the plate. I receive your perseverance, that cheerful attitude to press on, that encouragement that I'm never alone. And my Father, I declare victory in our lives in Jesus' name. I declare our bodies healed. I declare our minds clear. I declare strength come. And I declare that we are destroying the works of the devil and we are doing something good and greater things. Hallelujah. Greater things are coming to this city and to the world that we live in because you live inside of us. Thank you, Father. May everybody be lifted up today and encouraged and have hope, I pray. Amen. Amen. Have an awesome week. See some of you tomorrow.